Well, hold on. I inhale on the days by the mission. So far we talked about where animals of Korbanos were mixed up with other animals that are also Bahana or that are Mutter Bahana but can't be brought as Korbanos. And then the end of the previous Mishnah, we had talked about cases where an Ola is mixed up with other Korbanos, where there you have a problem, of course, because the Ola you can't eat and the other Korbanos you could. So then we said you'd have to leave them to graze until they develop a mum, etc. Now let's talk about within Korbanos that are eaten. Osham is out of the shlomim. If an osham gets mixed up with a shlomim, now they have a number of differences between them. They're shechted in different places in the Azara. The blood at least is applied the same way to the Mizeah. They both have Shem Atron and Shem Arba. But there's differences as far as where you can shecht them and who can eat them and for how long. An osham is only for Koyanim and only for a day and a night. Shlomim is for anybody. And for the Osham is only in the Azara, only for Koyanim, and for a day and a night, Shlomim would be for 2 days and one night, anywhere in Yerushalayim, and anybody can eat it. So, Rav Shimon Omer, so Rav Shimon says there's not such a big deal. Shneim yishachtu b'tzofen, you shecht both of them in the north, because this way, whichever one was the Osham, then you're covered. And you eat them according to the chumras, of the two of them, meaning in other words, you treat both of them as though they were an ashram and have only koyanim eat it and only male koyanim and only inside the azara and only for a day and a night. So no problem, you will be able to bring them. One of them was in reality a shlomim, but Rav Shimon says, what's the big deal? There's no problem eating a shlomim in the azara. You could eat it anywhere in the city. There's no problem with only koyanim eating a shlomim, even though anybody else could. So this way you're covered. Amrulai, but the Chacham said no. You cannot bring kodshim to a situation where they're more likely to become posel. Namely, let's consider, if only koyanim can eat it, and only for a day and a night, there's a much greater chance that there's going to be some of it left over, and you're going to have noiser, and you don't want to do that. So therefore, the chum say that no, that's not an option. You're going to have to wait until they develop a mum, and then sell them, and then use the money to buy an osham and a shlomim respectively, and then the shlomim will be able to eat for the proper amount of time and by the proper number of people, and then that way you're not more likely to make it possible. Now, what about nisar v'chatichas v'chatichas? What about if pieces of one korban get mixed in with pieces of another korban? So let's say, for example, again, an osham with a shlomim, or other examples like that of korbanos that are all eaten, but again, now you have ones that are mixed up from one korban with another. Kodshe kodshim, kodshim kalim. For example, you have pieces of kodshim kalim. You have pieces of kodshim kodshim, such as chatas or osham, mixed up with kodshim kalim, such as a shlomim or a toida. Now, there the chachamim are going to agree that you have no choice. You have ones that are eaten for only one day and one night and are mixed up with ones that are eaten for 2 days and one night. Then you have to eat it according to the chumrah of them. Then the chachamim are going to agree, because what can you do? When the animals are alive, then the chachamim say you have a choice. Instead of shechting the animals and doing like Rav Shimon said, pretending as though both of them are an osham, then you shouldn't do that. But here, the korbanos have already been shechted and you have slices of meat. You have no choice. If you don't, you can't eat them both for 2 days and one night, you might end up eating noiser. So you have no choice. You're going to have to eat them both for one day. And the same thing with all the other examples. If it's kodshim kodshim with kodshim kalim, and let's say the kodshim kalim are a toida, so you don't have an issue of the time frame, because the time frame is the same, but the number of people and the place where it can be eaten is less. Okay, but you have no choice. You're going to have to do that and have it eaten only in the Azara and only by the male koyanim, etc. An interesting point, actually, the Rashash makes an interesting point, is that the word chatichos, which literally means slices, that itself suggests that we're not talking about a korban ola. If we had a korban ola involved over here, that would be a lot more complicated, because then an ola you can't eat. But the fact is, an ola is never cut into slices, because why would you? You don't slice it up to eat anyway. You cut it up into evorim, you cut it up into limbs, and then those limbs are taken and burned on the mizbeach. So therefore, the word chatichos suggests that we're talking all within korbanos that are eaten, but the point is that you have no choice. You're going to have to eat them according to the chumrah, according to the respective chumras, because then otherwise they're just going to have to be left over and are going to be burnt as noiser. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kameja. So now, let's talk about this question. So again, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing where Reb Shimon says there's no problem of shechting these korbanos, even though it means that one of them is now going to have less time to eat it than it should have had normally. But he says that's not a problem, and the Chachamim say that is a problem, and therefore we can't shech these korbanos. So now. So now let's talk about that opinion of Reb Shimon and see where it applies in other areas of halacha. Tani Tana Kameda Rav. A Tana taught a braisa in front of Rav. Shvius ein loichin b'damei ha'truma. When you have produce of Shemitah. Now, normally you're not allowed to sell produce of Shemitah in large quantities, but you could. You can sell in small quantities. You went and picked from somebody's orchard during Shemitah a whole lot of apples, and it's more apples than you know what to do with. Then you're allowed to sell them in small quantities. The dinim are with Shemitah fruit. You sell it, the original fruit still retains its Kedusha, but also the money now gains the Kedusha of what you bought it from, and then it gets transferred onto the next thing that you spend that money on or trade it for, etc. So you always have the original fruit retains Kedusha Shvius, and the last item in the chain has Kedusha Shvius. So now, though, the Braisa says you cannot use, if you're selling Shemitah fruit in the way that it's allowed, you're not allowed to buy Truma with it. Because you're reducing the possibilities for eating it, because Shvius eventually you're going to have the concept of beer. You have a din when it comes to Shemitah that the various kinds of produce, eventually there comes a point when there's none of it available growing in the wild anymore, and then at that point you have to take all of that type of produce from your household and do beer on it. So beer includes, you can eat it on the spot. Most Rishonim understand that beer just means you eat whatever you can, and then you feed it to your animals, if it's animal food or whatever, and then you put out the rest and declare it Hefker. Most Rishonim learn that afterwards you would be able to take it back from Hefker. The Rambam holds that no, it means it actually has to be destroyed. If you can't eat it, if you can't finish it in time, then you actually have to destroy it. Whatever the case, the point is, you don't want to do that with Truma. So now the point is, if you were to sell produce of Shvius and buy Truma with it, that Truma would have the same dinim as the original fruit that was bought with the money of it. So again, let's say, for example, you have apples of Truma, and there comes a point during the following year when no more apples are available in the wild, and then you have to get rid of any apples of Truma that are in your possession. That would also apply to anything that was bought with the money that was gotten from selling those apples. So now, then, if that's Truma, then it comes out. You're going to have to be destroying Truma or you're going to have a deadline to eat it, whereas Truma itself doesn't have any deadline. Tosfos points out, when it comes the time of beer, you give out 3 meals worth of it to Aniyim, and Rabbi Yossi says even to Ashirim, but nevertheless, the point is that what if you don't find people to give it out to? What if you have leftover after you gave three sodas to each person? So you shouldn't do that. As opposed to Truma has no deadline. Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rava. The Chachamim told over this Braisa to Rava, and they pointed out Hodolok to Reb Shimon. That Braisa seems to not be like Reb Shimon. The Ik Reb Shimon, because if that Braisa followed Reb Shimon, what's the problem? Ha'omam Mivim Kodshim Lebeis Apsul. He says in our Mishnah that you're allowed to bring about a situation where Kodshim, there's less time for eating them, and we don't care about that. As long as you do finish them in time, we don't care. So by the same token, Reb Shimon presumably would have no problem with buying Truma with money of Shvius, because fine, it means that you're putting a deadline on it that it didn't have before. So what? You're putting a deadline on these Shlomim that it didn't have before, and it's not a problem. But Rava says no, that's not a valid inference. I feel a tamer Reb Shimon. You could say that Braisa about Shvius and Truma is according to Reb Shimon. Because Hani Mili Di'i Avan, because our Mishnah is talking about a B'di'evit situation. The animals got mixed up, and therefore Reb Shimon says it's better not to leave them to graze and develop a mum, etc. So they're already mixed up. So he says go ahead and do that. He doesn't necessarily say that you could do that L'chatchila, as in we're talking about over here L'chatchila to go take money that you got from selling Shvius produce and use it to buy Truma. Even Reb Shimon wouldn't necessarily allow that. This, by the way, di'ovad in the Gemara over here, this is where the word di'eved comes from. Di'eved is actually short for di'ovad if he did it. There is a different gerusa that says on the side of it here, di'aruv, that it was mixed. Either way, the point is that it's already a done deal, so you have no choice, but Rav Shimon wouldn't necessarily allow it, l'chatchila. So the question is, l'chatchila loy? So you're telling me Rav Shimon wouldn't allow such a thing, l'chatchila? Sabaya says to Rav, I have a contradiction then. It's interesting in that regard, by the way, we find that, Abaya was the head Rosh Hashir. After Rav Yosef passed away, Rav Shura Gaon tells us in his Yigeres that Abaya was the head of the central yeshiva in Pumbedissa for many years. It was 14 years, the Rosh Hashir, 12 or 14 years, I don't remember, the Rosh Hashir over there, and then he passed away, and then Rava took over. But meanwhile, of course, Rava had a yeshiva of his own all those years, so it seems, you see from this Gemara, that Abaya was present at times in Rava's yeshiva and was participating in the discussions as one of the Talmidim. Anyway, a Braisa says, a Mishnah actually, later on in our Perek, we talk about the Chulon, all the different Korbanos. It talks about over there about, you have the context over there, as it talks about Todur Vashena Todur, Mekodesh Vashena Mekodesh. You have the different, some Korbanos are more often than others, some have a greater Kedusha than others, but the Chulon, all of them, Rashoyin Korinim Lashanis Bakilosan, the Korinim are allowed to vary the way that they eat them, they can cook them however they want. For example, La'ochon Sluyim Shlukinim Rasholin, for example, they can eat them roasted, or cooked, or they can eat them roasted, or shlukin, or cooked. Shlukin, there's different possibilities, whether shaluk, Tosfos later on in the Masechta, when it talks about this, explains that shaluk means overcooked. Sometimes it's said shaluk means less cooked. Another distinction that the Rid makes is maybe that shlukin means without spices and mubashalim means with spices. Whatever the case, they're allowed to prepare the food however they want. We don't say, in other words, that since the pasuk says that you have to eat them l'moshcha, which means l'gdula, you have to eat them in a way of greatness, k'derach shamalach and oichlim, like kings eat, you would think maybe it means that you have a specific way of eating it, the way that kings usually have their food prepared. You would think maybe they have to eat purely l'shem shamayim, and they're not allowed to make it more enjoyable for themselves. So therefore we're saying if not so, they can prepare the food however they want. This is why we say, Nezim, we learned earlier in the Masechta, Nezim HaKoyman, b'chol machol, when we said that most korbanos can be eaten in any, can be prepared in any way, that means what we're talking about over here. They can cook them, or boil them, or stew them, or roast them, or whatever. Veloses l'soichan tivlei chulin v'tivlei trumim. And in addition, they can put into them spices of chulin and spices of truma. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. On the side over here, it says it's tribute of Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says that they're also allowed to put into it spices of chulin and even spices of truma. Now, Rav Meir over there disagrees and says you shouldn't put truma because, again, you have the problem of putting a deadline on it that you wouldn't otherwise have. Truma can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no deadline for it. You're going to put spices of truma into meat of kodshim, then you're reducing the amount of time, and you're making it more likely that the truma is going to have to be burnt, and so Rav Meir says you can't do that. But Rav Shimon says it's fine. So then you see Rav Shimon allows such a thing, even l'hatchila. Amalei, so Rava says, Hanachal Trumas Tavlin, set aside the Truma of spices, Dirabbanon, because that spices, because Truma of spices is only Dirabbanon. We talked about previously which kinds of produce are chayiv in Truma Daraisa, it's Macholikos Rishonim, based on various Gemaras, whether it's specifically grain, grapes, and olives, according to Rashi and Tosfos, or whether it's all tree fruits, according to the Rambam, but in any case, spices are not included in that, spices are definitely Dirabbanon. So therefore, so sure, Dirabbanan, Daraisa, you wouldn't have to take Truma from them in the first place. So therefore, the Chachamim will allow you once the Chachamim imposed on you to take Truma from spices, then we can say that Rav Shimon will say that it's fine to then use those spices of Truma to flavor meat of Kodshim. And even Rav Meir is not going to disagree with that. In fact, the Radvaz gives an explanation that actually following the Rambam's Shitta, that all tree fruits are chayav daraisa, the Rambam may hold that spices are in fact, according to the Meir, also daraisa, and he would explain that's the crux of the machlokas between the Meir and Rav Shimon. Rav Meir would hold the daraisa, Rav Shimon would hold the dirabbanan. In any case, so fine, Rav Shimon says it's dirabbanan, so therefore there's no problem, so therefore we're not going to worry about that. But when we're talking about shviyas and truma, which are both daraisa, then you still can't do it. And only in the case of our Mishnah, where the Eved, they were already mixed in, you can't help it, then Reb Shimon will say, go ahead and be machluf then. Okay, Eisvei, Sabai says, fine, Rava, I have another contradiction on you. A Mishnah says in the Sechta Maisa Sheni, Ein loichim truma bekesef maiser, you're not allowed to buy truma with Maisa Sheni money. Because you're reducing where it can be eaten. Because Maisa Sheni can be eaten only in your Shalayim, Truma could be eaten anywhere. Maisa Sheni can't be eaten by an Oinen. Truma could be eaten by an Oinen. So therefore, so again, you're now going to have, you're reducing the factors under which it can be eaten, and you're making it more likely that it's going to have, that it's going to end up going to waste. There was another point as well. There was another point as well. Tosfos makes up a point that the problem is not only because of truma. The problem is also because of Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni can be eaten by anybody. Truma can be eaten only by Kohenim. So you're not only reducing from the point of view of truma, you're reducing the circumstances under which it can be eaten, but you're also, from the point of view of Maisa Sheni, you're reducing the circumstances under which it can be eaten. For that matter, also, truma can be eaten by Tvoyoim, Maisa Sheni can't. So the point is, in other words, you have more than one factor over here that you're reducing, and the Mishnah says that you can't. Reb Shimon Matir, whereas Reb Shimon says it's Mutter. Now again, they were dealing with something Lachatchila. It's not something B'diavad, because we're not talking about he already bought it, and now the question is what to do. Reb Shimon is allowing to begin with for him to take Maisa Sheni money and use it to buy Truma. So you see that Reb Shimon doesn't have a problem with that. Well, Ishtikle, Rava was quiet and had to concede that Abaya has a point. Well, Ki Osel Kameh Rav Yosef. When Abaya came to Rav Yosef, so it comes out this was actually while Rav Yosef was still alive, so Rava was not yet the head of the central yeshiva, because that happened only after Abaya passed away. This was when Rava had his own private yeshiva someplace, and their Rebbe, Rav Yosef, was still alive, so they would go sometimes and learn by Rav Yosef and Pumbedista, but they also had their own individual yeshivas in different places, and we see again that Abaya would sometimes go to Rava's yeshiva to learn there. So now, Ki Osel Kameh Rav Yosef, when Abaya came to visit his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, Omalei, so Rav Yosef says, you had a good point, you asked him well, but Amalei Tosvei Meha, but why didn't you instead, or in addition, also contradict Rava based on another Mishnah? Because maybe the Mishnah that you said, okay, Rava was quiet, he didn't have an answer, but after all, he could have said the doichik that there it just means you're allowed to buy truma of things that are only also that are only required in truma d'rabbanon. Let's say, for example, vegetables, which everybody agrees are chayiv in truma only d'rabbanon. But here you have a clear mishnah from a mishnah in Masechta Shviyos that clearly talks about something which is chayiv d'oraisa. A mishnah says ein mevashlim yerek shel shviyos b'shemen shel truma. You're not allowed to cook vegetables of shmita in oil of truma, shalai yovil kodshim lebeis hapsul, because you have the same problem that you're causing kodshim, or not really kodshim, but whatever, you're causing truma to become pasul, because again, truma there's no deadline, and shavias you have the deadline of beer. So again, therefore, you're causing that truma is going to, you're creating a deadline on truma that you didn't have before. There's an explanation also that there's also a problem. You're also making problems from the Shviyas side of things, because Shviyas fruit, one thing is there's no problem of Tumah V'Tahara with it. If a Tomei person touches Shviyas produce, nothing happens. But a Tomei person touches Truma, it now has to be burnt. So now that comes out that you're also causing Peris Shviyas to be burnt. In any case, the point is, the Mishnah clearly says that you can't do that. Shall you real kodesh on the base of soul? And again, Reb Shimon matir, and Reb Shimon allows it. Now that means oil. There's no question that oil is chayev in truma d'oraisa. So everybody agrees that that's definitely in the category of even Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that truma applies only to grain, grapes, and olives. Well, olives is oil. unless we were to assume that's oil from some other kind, or unless we were to assume that's oil of some other kind, but papyrus oil means olive oil. So the question would be then, why didn't you use that Mishnah as a question on Rava as well? So actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that there's a couple of reasons why you could say that maybe Rabbi Yosef means you should have asked him from two Mishnayos, but fine, how many Mishnayos does he have to ask him from? But rather, there would have been an advantage to doing this one. First of all, Shviyas is before Maaseh Sheni in Seder Zeroyim, and second of all, again, like we said before, the one from Maaseh Sheni, you could say it means you're allowed to buy vegetables of Terumah, but here we're talking about oil, which is fairly clearly is Daraisa. So he says to Abaya, why don't you ask from that? Abaya answers, Abaya answers, Valavmi Osvisim Mahoda Tavlin, didn't I already try to ask him from the Mishnah about the spices of Truma being used to flavor Kochim? V'omalei hanachal Trumas Tavlin did Abonon, and he answered me that Tavlin, that spices is not a proof because Truma of them is only did Abonon, maybe according to everybody, maybe only according to Reb Shimon, whatever the case, but the point is it's only did Abonon. Hochanami, Trumas Yerach did Abonon. Well, then the same thing over here. Maybe we're talking about that, Truma of vegetables is only Dirabbanan. So therefore, so Reb Shimon will allow you to use then Reb Shimon will allow you to use oil to use the oil because anyway the vegetables that we're dealing with are only Dirabbanan. Rabbi Yosef says, yeah, that's not how it goes. If that's how you're thinking, Ipcham and Boiler the Misnid, and the Mishnah should have said it the other way around, that you can't cook Yerach Shal Truma, the Shemen Shal Shviyas, that you can't cook vegetables of Truma in oil of Shviyas. And then, obviously, we're talking about vegetables, and yeah, it means vegetables that are, which are only Chayav in Truma, Dirabbanan. But that's not how the Mishnah is phrased. The Mishnah is phrased in terms of that the oil is of Truma and the vegetables are of Shviyas. So then that be so what are you thinking? That the Mishnah might be only talking about something which is Chayev and Truma only Dirabbanan. The vegetables may be Chayev and Truma only Dirabbanan. It's true, but that's not the scenario that the Mishnah is talking about. So why didn't you ask him from that Mishnah, which after all is a stronger thing to ask from? The fact is, I mean, Shita Mekubetza says, so what was Rabbi Yosef thinking? The Braisa clearly says that we're talking about oil of Truma, the Mishnah, whatever, clearly is talking about oil of Truma. So that's what he says. After all, the oil that we're talking about necessarily over here is not necessarily oil from olives. It could conceivably be sesame oil or nut oil or things like that are chayav only dirabbanan. So Abaye says, in other words, if I asked him from that Mishnah, he would answer me that the oil of Truma in that Mishnah is not necessarily olive oil, but rather one of these other kinds of oils. So Rabbi Yosef says, yes, but then why would the Mishnah then use the expression vegetables of Shviyas with oil of Truma, where you could then misunderstand that the oil is olive oil and think that it's allowed even when the Truma is Daraisa, then in that case, the Mishnah should have more clearly stated the case as vegetables of Truma with oil of Shviyas. And when it comes to Shviyas, there's no difference between fruits and vegetables as far as Kedusha Shviyas. And then it would be clear that you're allowed to with things Dirabbanan, maybe as a Rava would answer, it's allowed with things Dirabbanan, appointed of Shimon, but not with things Daraisa. Why wouldn't the Mishnah do that rather than phrase it this way and say oil of Truma, where you could misunderstand that it means, what it means vegetable oil, when in fact it means olive oil. Abaye says fine, but the reason I didn't bother asking Rava from that Mishnah about the oil and the vegetables is v'lavni osvisim imasnisin. Didn't I already try to shlug him up from our Mishnah when we said at the beginning of the sugya that Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rava, the Rabbanan said in front of Rava that our Mishnah seems to not be like Reb Shimon. Obviously, one of those Rabbanan was Abaye himself. Didn't I already ask him, Mimas Nisin, the Matir of Shimon, that from our Mishnah, where Reb Shimon is allowing you to bring the two korbanos, V'omali di'i Arev, and he answers that's different because it was already a done deal, they were already mixed up, Hochanami di'i Arev. Well, then over here, you could also talk about, not that we're saying whether you've allowed the Chatzchila to use oil of Truma to cook vegetables of Shviyas, but rather, if they already got mixed in, then as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, you can't exactly squeeze out the oil, then Reb Shimon is allowing you to cook them and eat them. But the Chachilah, to be able to take it, maybe not necessarily, Reb Shimon would allow it. So therefore, Abaye says, I didn't bother asking Rava from that Mishnah, because he would have answered that Mishnah is talking about where they already got mixed and where they already got mixed and therefore at this point, then you're allowed to cook them the same way as in our Mishnah. We're saying the animals got mixed and therefore already you're allowed to go and be makriv them. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef says, Idi Yarev, yeah, but if they were already mixed up, my time out of the Rabbanon, why would the Chachamim say that you can't cook them together? The fact is, you can't separate one from the other. So why would the Chachamim have a problem? You're going to say the problem is beer. You're going to have the problem of beer whether you cook them or not. So if you say the Mishnah is talking about the Chachilah taking oil of Truma and pouring it over vegetables of Truma and cooking them, and you're going to say Reb Shimon allows it, then you see Reb Shimon allows it in the Chachilah. So then you could have used that as a question on Rava, who says that Reb Shimon allows such things only b'di'evid. If you're going to say that it's talking about it already got mixed in, then how are you explaining why the Chachamim would disagree with Reb Shimon in the first place? And the answer is, Abaya answers, Midi Dehava Oshem Ushlomim. Because after all, it's like an Oshem and a Shlomim. Here you have in the Mishnah also, the Chachamim are saying you have an alternative. Don't make things worse by shechting them. Leave them to graze till they develop a mum, etc. The same way, the Chachamim can then say the same thing. Vegetables got mixed with oil, then fine, don't make things worse by cooking them. Rabbi Yosef says, me dummy, how is it comparable? Chosam, when it comes to the Oshem and the Shlomim, Islay Tekanta Beriya. You could easily fix up the situation. You can leave them to graze. So, it's not the best option because you would rather bring the animals themselves as korbanos, but at least it's a reasonable option that doesn't involve putting a deadline on these korbanos and then other restrictions on these korbanos that they wouldn't have otherwise had. Huh, but when it comes to vegetables and oil, let's get to Canterbury. What are you kidding? You can't leave them to graze. So what would you do? Holy dummy, if you want to compare the case of oil and vegetables to a case from our Mishnah, compare it to the case of the slices of one carbon that got mixed up with slices of another carbon, the kibbin the less sakanta, where again there's nothing you can do, and the chum say ta'ochol kochomer shebehen, just eat it according to the chumras of both of them. So the same way, the Chachamim should say the same thing. Yes, you can't take oil of Truma and deliberately put it in your pot in order to cook vegetables of Shavuos, because you have the problem, like we said, that then you're reducing the circumstances under which you're putting a deadline on the Truma, the deadline of beer, and in addition, you also have the issues that you're bringing up as far as Truma Vatara and Koyanim and as far as all of that, from the Shavuos side of things. But the point is that, fine, don't do El Chachila, but if the oil and the vegetables already got mixed, then why shouldn't you be able to cook them together? No different than in the case of our Mishnah, where you have slices of one carbon and slices of another carbon that are mixed up. And the Chum said, listen, what are we going to do? You don't want to just go and burn them. So, but let's say that we're going to have to eat them. So then the Chachamim shouldn't be arguing with Reb Shimon. So again, Rabbi Yosef is saying to Abaye, in effect, it seems pretty clear if you think into it, that Mishnah has to be talking about whether you can do it l'chatchila. Rabbi Shimon is allowing you l'chatchila. You have a recipe that involves vegetables cooked in oil, and Rabbi Shimon will allow you l'chatchila to take oil of truma, olive oil of truma even, and use it to cook vegetables of Shavuos. And not have a problem with Ein Mevi'in Kodesh from the base of soul. So then, by the same token, in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon would allow, so to say, well, in our Mishnah it's b'di'evid, but in other cases, Reb Shimon would allow such things, even l'chatchila. And if you want to say that it's talking about b'di'evid, where the vegetables and the oil were already mixed, then why would the Chachamim say that in that case you shouldn't do anything? So therefore, that demonstrates that Reb Shimon, in fact, holds that you can do such things, even l'chatchila. And not like Rava was saying before, that it's only b'di'evid. So Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya that you should have asked Rava from that. However, Maskif lo Ravina, however, Ravina questions that and says, me dummy, how is it similar? Ravina, by the way, belongs to a later generation, primarily. Ravina was the chaver of Rav Ashi, but we see already that he was already in the Beis Medrash. We see that he was already in the Beis Medrash in Rabbi Yosef's times. He must have been a very young Talmud Chacham at the time, but yeah. So he says, me dummy, how do you compare it? Chaticha b'chatichas lesle takanta klal. When it comes to slices of a korban that are mixed up and confused with slices of the other kind, there's no takana you can do at all. Aye, but when it comes to vegetables and oil, isle takanta b'schita. On the face of it, you could squeeze the vegetable, get the oil out, and get the oil out, and then that way at least you're not you may not be able to get out every molecule of oil, but at least this way you're saving as much of the oil as possible and preventing it from having to undergo beer. So therefore, so fine. So fine, you may not be able to get out all of it, but at least you should be able to try getting, everything out that's possible. Therefore, the Chachamim will say, don't cook it, because then you're just going to make things worse. Now the oil won't be able to be squeezed out at all. So as opposed to, the Chachamim may say, don't cook it. Squeeze out whatever oil you can, save at least whatever oil you can, and then fine, whatever's left, if you have to go cook it, then fine. So then there's a difference. Rabbi Yosef answers to that no, because feichin nischid, how would you squeeze it? Nischid tuva, when you squeeze it a lot, when you really like mash it up, come mashed b'shvius, then you're really ruining the shvius produce. La'ochel v'la lahefsed, shmita produce, you're supposed to eat it, you're not supposed to destroy it. So if you really squeeze the vegetable the maximum possible, then you're really destroying, you're taking out all the flavor of it, and you're making it something that's not edible anymore, or not as much edible as before. Nischit purta, and if you squeeze it only a little bit, so sefia ruhama adam. The fact is, you still have oil mixed into it, so what have you helped? He doesn't hold, Rabbi Yosef, in other words, is saying, Ravina, you're arguing maybe that you could at least squeeze out whatever you could, and it's worth saving that. But Rabbi Yosef says no. It's going to be that the Chachamim are going to say that there's no need to do that. If you could save all the oil, mela. But if you can only save some of the oil, then there's no reason that the Chachamim should prevent you from cooking it in the first place, given that anyway you're not going to be able to save all the oil. So different Acharonim talk about different details in that, but that's the gist of it. In other words, another way of looking at it is, in other words, Rabbi Yosef would say, listen, the Chacham should say, better you should not squeeze it at all and cook it rather than squeezing it, because what's going to happen in the future, people are going to think, what's going to happen? You're going to squeeze out some of the oil. People are going to think, okay, well, we squeeze out the oil. Now it's good. Now we don't have the issue of beer anymore. On the contrary, maybe we shouldn't squeeze it. So everybody should realize, you know what? There is truma in here. We better be careful. Only Koyanim can eat it. And we better eat it quickly so we don't ruin the truma. So we don't have to do beer on the truma. So therefore, so two ways of looking at what Rabbi Yosef is answering. One is that it's basically an all or nothing thing. If you can't do all of it, there's no reason the Chachamim should impose on you to have to do some of it and to avoid cooking it. And the other way of looking is, Chakek, if you do only some of it, then people are going to think that's enough, and they're going to think that there's no problem, and you're allowed to eat the rest and not realize that the fact is there was a lot more oil of truma in there, and you do have to be concerned about beer. So therefore, so with all that back and forth, the bottom line is, in other words, that sort of Yosef is saying, looking at it that way, it has to be of necessity that Mishnah with the oil and the vegetables has to be talking about that you're allowed to do it even l'chatchila, and not just when it was mixed together already, because when it was mixed together, Rabbi Yosef is saying, there'd be no reason for the Chacham to prevent you from cooking it. Go right ahead and cook it, and if the Chacham are saying you can't, it has to be, we're talking about l'chatchila, before you ever mix them together, and the fact that Rabbi Shimon still allows it shows that you could do such things even l'chatchila. Meanwhile, Abaya is taking the view that no, we can be talking about where they were already mixed. And Ravina is saying that even then, the Chachamim might say that don't cook it because you should try to squeeze out whatever you could. And therefore, at best, we could say from that Mishnah that Rav Shimon allows such things b'diavad. And therefore, Abaya says, I didn't bother asking Rava from that, because Rava concedes, of course, that Rav Shimon allows such things b'diavad. The discussion was whether he allows it l'chatchila. And from that, we have more clearly from the Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni that said that you could buy Truma with Ma'aseh Sheni money, according to Rav Shimon. And that was a stronger proof. And that's why I used that against Rava. Okay. So now, Rava had been quiet when Abaya gave him that contradiction, but he didn't actually concede. There is, in fact, at least one place in Shas where you have, there's an expression in one in Masechta Beitza, when they ask Rav a question on the halachas of Yom Tov, on the halachas of Muktzah on Yom Tov, and the Gemara says they ishtik Rav, that Rav was quiet and didn't reply. Which on the face of it means that he was quiet because he didn't have an answer, but nevertheless, though, there are a number of the Rishonim actually paskin like Rav in that case. There's places in the Chassidus where it talks about that when a person is quiet, not always does it mean that he's been refuted. Sometimes, on the contrary, it means that he has an answer, but he has it only at the level of Chochmah. He hasn't yet been able to develop it with Bina to make it a full-fledged thing, but like he knows instinctively that this is how it has to be, even though he can't find the words to put it in. So therefore, Sabaya May figure the same thing with Rava. Yes, I showed Rava that there's that Mishnah in Maisa Sheni that seems to contradict him. Rava was quiet and didn't answer, but he didn't actually concede and say, you know what, that shows that I was wrong. So therefore, so let me find another. So therefore, that means Rava may still hold that I still have something at the level of Chokhmah, at the level of at that level where I know that it has to be that way, and therefore I'm going to try to prove him otherwise, and therefore I'm going to bring another proof against him. So Abaye says that I have another contradiction against Rava. You have a situation like this. We know that a Nazir has two different sets of korbanos when he brings, depending whether he became tamei mes and has to shave his hair and start his nezirus over again, versus when he finishes nezirus successfully. In each case, he brings three korbanos. You also have a Metzorah also. When a Metzorah is finished with his Saras, then the last stage of his Tara is also to bring some Korbanos. Both of them also involve shaving, because a Metzorah has to shave twice. After the Kohen does for him the thing with the birds and the water and the Eitz Erez and so forth that's described at the beginning of Parashas Metzorah, after that, the Pasuk says that the Metzorah shaves his whole body and tovels. And then that takes off a degree of tumah from him. And then 7 days later, he shaves again his entire body, and then the day after that, the eighth day, he brings his korbanos. So now, the Mishnah in Masechet Nazir deals with cases involving, suppose that a person was, now you have one more din that's important to know as a background for this, which is, if a Nazir becomes a Metzorah, then even though a Nazir is normally not allowed to shave, but if he becomes a Metzorah in the middle of his Nazirus is temporarily suspended. He doesn't have to start it all over, unlike when he became Tommy Mess, but his Nazirus is temporarily suspended, and when it comes time for his shavings as a Metzorah, he will do that, and then when he brings his Korbanos as a Metzorah, then he'll resume his Nazirus. And the reason is that Rambam explains basically exactly that. The Kedusha of his Nazirus is temporarily suspended, and therefore the issue of shaving, the fact that he's a Nazir and is also to shave, that goes away in the face of the mitzvah to shave as a Metzorah. Anyway, the Mishnah describes over there cases where a person is Sofek Tomei, and where a person was a Nazir and became Sofek Tomei Mes and Sofek Metzorah. Specifically, Rashi says over here, we're talking about specifically where he's a suffix of whether he became a Metzorah or not. It's a suffix whether he was a Metzorah Mukhla and is required to shave. Tosfos discusses over here that actually it's more than that. It's a suffix of whether he became Tomei Mes and a suffix of whether he became a Metzorah. So that complicates things even more. Tosfos goes into a long arichus over here, explaining, the Gemara explains over there in the Mishnah, in Nazir, and the Gemara goes through over there and explains all the possible different scenarios, and Tosfos goes through blow by blow and explains the whole thing. So we don't necessarily need to go through that whole thing. That belongs more to Masech than Nazir. But in any case, the point is, now here's the twist though. If he was a Vadai Metzora, then he can shave his hair. If he was Vadai Tomei Mes, then he shaves and started Nazirus over again. But because over here there's a suffix, then can he shave his hair? After all, if he's not Tomei Mes and he's not a Metzorah, then he's not allowed. He's a Nazir. He's not allowed to shave. So you have all kinds of, and what do you do as far as his korbanos? So you have all kinds of complications over there. So eventually the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon Omer, Lamocharos, the next day. So Rashi says the next day, in this case, we mean the eighth day, meaning, in other words, after he's finished with what might have been his tzaras, then it means, in other words, again, he had 7 days, he did his shaving, and now 7 days later. Tosfos point, one of the things Tosfos points out in this very long Tosfos over here is that Rashi himself actually explains elsewhere, this Gemara is brought in Menachos, and explains that it means after 60 days. So it's because either, here we're talking about a person who was a Nazir and was Metzorah during his time, and then on the first day of his Nazirus, all of a sudden he wasn't sure if he became Tomei Mes or not, and if he's a Metzorah Mukhlat or not. So now, then in that case, he's going to have to wait 60 days, because then you have to have, because then you have to have 30, because 30 days for his nazirus, and then he has only after the 30 days can he do his first shaving, and then he's going to have to keep again 30 days of nazirus in case he was a nazir tameh, and then only then can he do the second shaving, so then it comes out that he can bring his korbanos only after 60 days. Whereas in our sugya, Rashi is explaining that we're talking about that it's just a suffix, whether he became a mitzvah or not, so then in that case he brings his korbanos on the 8th day. Anyway, so on the 8th day, Reb Shimon says, maybe ashamay v'logay imay, he brings an asham, and he brings a log of oil with it. Now, both a mitzvah and a nazir tameh are both bringing an asham. So he can bring an asham either way. So he brings the asham. Now, Mitzurah uniquely has, with his asham, he also brings a log of oil. We've talked about it earlier in the Masechta. The Kohen takes the oil. He does 7 sprinklings of it in the direction of standing in the Azareh, in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he takes some of it and applies it to the Mitzurah's ear, thumb, the right ear, right thumb, and right big toe. He puts the rest of it, he puts more of it on the Mitzurah's head, and then the rest of it is one of the things that there's one of the 24 Matnas Kohuna that the Kohenim can eat anywhere in Yerushalayim. Or anywhere in the Azara, I think. Anywhere in the Azara, yeah. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says that this person, who again, he has a suffix whether he became a Mitzvah or not, but he's also a Nazir who became Tameh, so then, Lamachras, on the 8th day, maybe Ashamah v'loga imay, he brings the Asham together with a log of oil, v'oimah, and he says to the Kohen, im sham Mitzvah, if in fact I was a Mitzvah, and I have to bring the Korbanos of a Mitzvah, fine. Then this is my asham, v'zel lugoy, and this is the lug that goes together with it, the lug of oil for a mitzvah. V'im lav, and if not, if I was never a mitzvah muchlat, asham, a confirmed mitzvah, asham zesh asham nidava, then this asham, instead of being an asham, will instead be shlomim, that will be benidava. Sorry, I was wrong over here. We're not talking about where the fellow became Tomei. We're talking about, because then we're not talking about a Nazir Tomei. We're actually talking about over here about the only suffix is during his Nazirus, did he become a Mitzoro or not? So if he wasn't a Mitzoro, then there's no Asham to bring. He didn't in fact become Tomei. So now Reb Shimon says, no problem. He can still bring the Korban and say, if it's needed to bring an Asham because I was a Mitzoro, then good, here's the Asham. And if not, then this will be Shosham in the Dava. Then instead, this will be a Shlomim that I'm bringing voluntarily, because after all, the blood is applied to the mizbeach the same way. So the oyster osham ton shchitavat sofen. So that osham will have to be shechted in the north in case, in fact, it is an osham. Tosfos, by the way, points out we did learn in Ezor Makoman that an osham also has the osham of the mitzvah has the unique feature that unlike all the other korbanos, where all the blood has to be caught in the basin, here you have two kohenim. One receives some of the blood in his hand, and then that's what he applies to the mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, and the other one receives the rest in a keli. As opposed to a shlomim, you're supposed to receive all. So Tosfos says the Gemara over here is going to explain in a couple of lines that it's when we have to fix up a person, when we have to bring korbanos to make him able to ever enter the besmithah or eat korbanos again, then we can bend the rules a little bit. So the same way over here, even though had this been a shlomim, there'd be no kohen receiving the blood in his hand. Whereas if it's an asham mitzvah, we do, but then we can bend the rules a little bit for that. Okay. So the Shimon says you do that, you bring it as though it were an Osham, so you shecht in the north, umatan bahoinus, you apply the blood to the Koyans, to the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, as though it was an Osham, or smicha, you're gonna do smicha on it, which Tosfos points out earlier in the Masechta. We discussed the question whether in fact an Asham Mitzvah needs smicha or not. There was an opinion that said that Daraisa does not. So in that case, it wouldn't mean doing real smicha. It would mean just that he places his hands on it, whereas real smicha is supposed to be b'chol koichoi with all his strength. Again, tikkuni gavra, to fix him up, then we'll allow it. If we say that the Asham Mitzvah requires smicha on a Daraisa level, then either way the korban gets smicha, so then there's no reason to mention. So it means that, or nesachim. Similarly, it means nesachim, which again, Tosfos points out, that's actually going to be the same no matter what. Whether most ashamas do not get nesachim, the osham of mitzvah is unique in that it does. And a shlomim gets nesachim, so either way it's going to get nesachim. Or tnuchas pozer shoik. We will wave the breast and thigh of the animal as though it was a shlomim. Because in case it's a shlomim, we do need to do that. So v'nechal l'yom v'layla, and we'll eat it only for one day and one night, as though in case it was an asham. So we see, in other words, that Rav Shimon holds that you can do. So the point is, again, Abaya is bringing this against Rava. You held Rava that Rav Shimon holds in Mevi'in Kodshim Lebeis Kapsul, but only Drabanan, but only B'dieved. You will see that even Machatchila, you're allowed to do that because Rav Shimon is allowing you to bring this korban that might be an Oshem and might be a Shlomim, and therefore you're Mevi'in Kodshim Lebeis Kapsul, because if it was a Shlomim, you're reducing the number of people who can eat it, and you're reducing the place and time where it can be eaten, and still Rav Shimon is allowing it even Machatchila. So the answer is Takuni Gabra Shiny. It's different when we have to fix up a person. Rav Shimon may hold that in general, Ein Mevi'in Kodshim Lebeis Hapsul, Lahatchila, but here, you're doing it in order to fix up the person. Otherwise, as a Mitzurah, he's never going to be able to enter the Bais Mikdash and never going to be able to bring Korbanos, to eat Korbanos, if you don't allow him to bring his Korbanos to finish off his Nezirus. So therefore, Rav Shimon will say, we can bend the rules a little bit in order to allow that. And we can consider it, in effect, in other words, we can consider it like a B'dieved situation. But to say l'chila, we should allow such a thing, such as we said on Amud Aleph, to allow us to say that when the korbanos were mixed together and we haven't yet shechted them and there's no tikkuni gavra involved, to allow us to shech them, not necessarily is Rav Shimon going to agree with that. Okay, so. So at this point the Gemara drops the discussion, and fine, we're left with that Rava holds that Rav Shimon is going to allow such things only with the Eben, and Abaya holds that Rav Shimon would allow it even the Hatzchila. We did have the Mishnah from Maaseh Sheni that we said on Amud Aleph, where Rav Shimon seems to allow it even the Hatzchila. Rava was quiet. Maybe that means that Rava in fact conceded to Abaya's argument, or maybe it means that Rava still knew as a fact that Rav Shimon holds that it's allowed only with the Eben. He just couldn't put it into words to convince Abaya. Okay, but now let's get back to this matter of this Braisa, where Rav Shimon had said that you can bring the Oshem and the Lug and do, as we said, consider it almost like a hybrid of an Oshem and a Shlomim and do the Chumras of both of them. Let's figure out what's going to happen with the oil. So the Gemara says, Atenach Oshem. That explains what we can do with the Oshem. Lug my Ikomema. What about with the Lug of oil? If he wasn't a Mitzvah Mukhlat, then you're not allowed to even bring it into the Azara in the first place, because you can't bring Chulin into the Azara. And the fact is, Tosfos points out, it's not even a matter of, you could say that it's not Chulin Ba'azara, because you're not doing, the fact is, you could argue it's not Chulin Ba'azara, because you're not bringing it in, you may be bringing it in for a purpose, you may not, but the fact is, we're doing an Avoida with it. You're taking it and sprinkling it seven times in the direction of the Heichel, and you're putting it on the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, toe, and head. That amounts to an Avoida, and if you're not required to do it, if in fact the guy was not a Mitzvah Mukhlat, then you can't do that. So you can't bring Chulin into the Azara. So what do you do? So the answer is Da'ama Lug Zeh Yehena Dava. Fine, so what he says is that the Lug of oil, in case it wasn't necessary, should be considered a Dava. I'm donating in a korban a Lug of oil. And that's fine. Later on, that's fine. Later in the Masechta, Reb Kaufman says that such a thing is allowed. Now, the Tanakhama in the Mishnah says that you cannot. The Tanakhama in that Mishnah says you cannot give oil by itself as a korban. But Reb Tarfon holds that you could. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask then, but Reb Shimon says, later on, the Gemara is going to ask actually, that Reb Shimon holds that you can't be menad of shemen, so according to that, you can't be menad of oil, so how is this allowed? And the Gemara is going to again answer to kuna gabra shiny. It's different when we have to fix up the person, but right now we're not getting into that. The fact is, we have a Tana, Reb Tarfon, who says that you're allowed to be menad of shemen. You can say, I want to donate a lug of oil as a korban, and that's Reb Tarfon considers that to be a valid korban, by itself. Well, very well, then he brings the lug, and he says, either if I was a Mitzvah, then this is the lug that I need to bring as a Mitzvah, and if I wasn't a Mitzvah, then this is a voluntary korban of oil. Okay, the question is, the Duma Lav Mitzvah, the fact is, though, maybe he wasn't a Mitzvah, Oboi Mikmatz, then we have to do kmitz on it, because the Gemara explains later in Arma Sechta, when we talk about that opinion of Reb Tarfon, what happens if a person is menad of oil, you take a kmitz from it, you burn it on the mezbeach as though it was a mincha, and the rest of the oil can be eaten by the kohenim. How you take a kohenim from oil, by the way, oil is a liquid. Later on in the Masechta, Tosfos discusses that what it may mean is you pour off an amount of the oil equal to the size of a koinet. So you figure out the average size of a koinet is obviously going to differ depending on the size of the koinet's hand, but basically you have approximately how much it should be. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that's a minimum of 2 kazesim. So then fine, you take a container that contains at least 2 kazesim, and you pour off some of the oil into it, and you consider that the koimetz. The other way of looking at it is maybe you literally take a koimetz of oil, maybe you thicken the oil a little bit, maybe you cool it down enough that it should be a semi-solid, and you take a koimetz from it, whatever the case. The point is that you do that. So the question is, but now, if the oil is being brought as an adava, then you do that. If your oil is not being brought as an adava, if it's required to bring from the mitzvah, then you don't take a koimetz from it. So what do? The Gemara says, okay, it's a mach mitzvah, you take a koimetz from it. The problem is the duma mitzvah, but what if he was a mitzvah? Or boy matan sheva, and you have to sprinkle 7 times from the oil in the direction of the heichel, whereas if it was a voluntary korban of oil, you would not do that. So the Gemara says, okay, again, diyahu, fine, so you do the 7 sprinklings. So now the question is, v'ha chosel. Now the question is that if you do that, now some of the lug is missing. So if you're telling me that that you should take the koimetz from it just in case it's a voluntary one, but if it was the mitzvah's lug, then you're not supposed to take the koimetz. Now it comes out that some of the lug is missing, and it's possible because the pasuk says the loig shemen, it has to be a loig of oil, no less. So what do you do? So the answer is the ma'isi porto mamalade. Fine, what you do is after you do the kmitza, you take a little extra oil and refill it. So now you're back. So you refill it. Now you're back to a lug. Tosfos points out that you would still have to make a t'nai then as well. You'd have to say, if he was a mitzvah, then this should be considered kedushas aguf, and it'll all go for the mitzvah. And if he wasn't a mitzvah, then it should just be kedushas domim. But then Tosfos goes on to say that Rabbeinu Baruch says, wait a minute, how do you do that? The fact is that if some of it has kedushas domim, then how are you going to be able to sprinkle from it? What if you're sprinkling? Some of the oil that was not part of the original lug. So okay, you could say it's bottle beroiv maybe, or it's not shavut fruta. So again, tikkuni gavra maybe would allow such things. Okay. So the Gemara says, sometimes you refill it, and that's not a problem. The Tanan, as in fact we learn in Masechta Negoyim in connection with the Mitzvah. Choser halug, if the lug is missing, ad shelo yotzak, before the Kohen poured some into his left hand from which he's going to apply to the Mitzvah's head, so he started out with a lug, let's say some of it spilled before he had the chance to put it on his hand, no problem, you're malenu, then you refill it, and you continue from there. So the same thing over here. So we'll have the Kohen take a koimetz of the oil. Now it's lashing a little bit. So fine, now you refill it, and now you continue from there. So the question is, v'boi haktara, the problem is that if you're taking a koimetz from this oil, you have to burn it on the mizbeach. And the answer is fine to actor, like, fine, what you do is you burn it on the mizbeach. So you burn it on the mizbeach. And Rashi says the shirayim, you don't have a problem with the shirayim because one way or the other, if it was the lug of the mitzvah, then after you finish applying the oil to the various places, then in fact the koyanim do eat the rest of it, as we learned earlier in the masechta. And if it was nedava, then also it's like the shirayim of a mincha, and again you eat it, and therefore there's no problem. So we don't have a problem with what's going to happen with the shirayim, but we have a problem with what's going to happen with the koyanim. So the most is fine, you burn it on the mizbeach. The problem is aims. When are you supposed to burn it? E bosa matnes sheva. If you do it after you did the 7 sprinklings, the problem is, what if this oil was meant to be as an adava? Havalahu shirayim shechosru ben kmitzel akhtara. Now, in effect, the remainder of the oil becomes shirayim, becomes the leftover of the mincha that are lacking, that are missing something between the kmitza and the burning. And the ein matun is koimetz aleihem. And the din is, in that case, you do not offer the ktoras. If you had a mincha starts off as an isorin, then you take the koimetz out of it. If after you took out the koimetz and before you burnt it on the zveyach, some of the oil, some of the mincha goes missing, you cannot be makter the koimetz at that point. Because the pasuk says that you have to take minha mincha es as kodos, so you have to take from the mincha, implying that the mincha is complete. So in our scenario over here, if this oil, we don't know again whether this oil is nedava or not. If it's nedava, and then you took some of it and sprinkled it 7 times, then you have some of it is missing. Now you can't burn the koimetz. e kodem matnas sheva. And if you're going to do it before you sprinkle the seven times, then you have the other way around. You have the problem is kol shem imenu leishim harei uval taktiru. You have a rule whenever you have a korban where part of it is supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, then there's an issue in the Torah to offer any of the other parts of it on the mizbeach. Because if you so like this, so in other words, if you do, if it was in fact, so Rashi explains like this: if you burnt some of it on the mizbeach, now the rest of it becomes shirayim. Now if you take that shirayim and you sprinkle seven times from it, then you're being over on this issue of bal taktiru, that you're not allowed to offer to Hashem the shirayim of any korban. In other words, the same way, a regular mincha, for example, you take the koimetz, the shirayim is now supposed to be eaten by the koyanim, you're not allowed to take those shirayim and burn them on the mizbeach. The same way with any korban, you have, let's say, a shlomim, you take the emurim of the shlomim and burn it on the mizbeach, you're not allowed afterwards to take some other part of the shlomim and burn it on the mizbeach as well. Well, that would apply not only to burning on the mizbeach, but any kind of offering. So then, what are you going to do? You're going to take the koimetz from this oil, in case it was oil of nedava, and then you're going to burn that koimetz on the mizbeach. Now the rest of it, if it was a minchas nedava, becomes shirayim. Now it would be also to take from those shirayim and sprinkle seven times towards the heichel, because that would be considered doing an avodah with it. The Shittim of Kobetzis has a long discussion about what exactly does that mean. Maybe in fact the Issur is only burning it. How do we know that it's also sprinkling? So Shittim of Kobetzis has a long discussion about it, which we'll get to more of that discussion actually in a minute. So what do you do? So it seems like one way or the other you're stuck. The answer is Omer of Yehuda Breder, Shimon Pazi, Demasik Lohu L'Shem Eitzim. What he does is, he will burn the koimetz, but and then he'll do the hazois. Why is it not a problem? Demasik Lohu L'Shem Eitzim. Because he will burn them as though they are wood. Now, what we mean is over here, we don't actually mean burning it. What we mean is we're going to sprinkle it. But in other words, we say like this. In the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about, let's say, we're going to talk about a case where, let's say, pieces of a chatos and pieces of an oila were mixed up. So what do we do with them? We have the same problem. An oila has to be burnt on the mizbeach. The pieces of a chatos after the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach are not supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. What do you do in this case? Rabbi Eliezer says in the next Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that what you do is you burn them on the mizbeach, and you say, if these are the limbs of the oila, then good, they're supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. And if they're not, if they're the limbs of the chatas, we're going to imagine them as though they are wood. We're not going to be in other words, when is the issur of offering something on the mizbeach, which is not supposed to be offered, when you're offering it as a korban. But if you're saying, in effect, we're going to treat these limbs like firewood, then Rabbi Eliezer says that such a thing is allowed. Well, then the same thing over here. So what you do is the koyan makes those so here. We apply a similar kind of thing. We say if this guy really was a mitzvah, and therefore we shouldn't have been burning the koymetz amenas there, then good. We're allowed to sprinkle from this oil. We said the fact that the oil is missing a little bit, no problem, because we'll refill it for the mitzvah. That's not a problem. As far as that would sprinkle, what if the guy was not a mitzvah, and then it was oil that was in a dava, and the koimetz was properly burnt on the mizbeach? Now what we'll do is we'll make a tnai that if that was the case, then these sprinklings that I'm doing, we're going to consider as though it was water. And then in that case, we fix up the situation. So that's a coin to Rashi. So part of the Shittim Kubetzis is long discussion. So first, before we get to Shittim Kubetzis, actually Tosfos points out that explanation doesn't really work. Among other things, why are we mentioning the point of Lashem Eitzim? We should say that he's sprinkling it as though it was water. So Rashi says because the next Mishnah uses the expression Lashem Eitzim, we were talking about burning things, so therefore our Gemara uses that expression as well. But Tosfos says that's a bit of a doichik. And Bechlal, who says this whole issue of burning things on the mizbeach is an issue by Hazar. We find later on in our Perek that it's not so. So rather, Tosfos says the question was not about the sprinkling. The question rather was, in fact, about the burning of the koimetz. You're telling me that you should burn the koimetz on the mizbeach, but if it's in fact the loig shem and shem mitzora, then you're not allowed. Then Rabbi Akiva would say, Tosfos brings from a Gemara later, from a relevant Gemara in Menachos, that in fact, it would be also to offer any of that on the Mizbeach. So therefore, so the question would be how you could do it. And the answer is that you could do it, by having in mind that you're burning it, l'shem eitzim, that you're having in mind that it's wood rather than a korban. So if it's necessary, that it should be considered wood rather than a korban. The Shitur Kubetzes also goes into a long discussion about that and explains that basically, once the pasuk says, we see that the psukim say that you can't that lo saktiru mimenu isha l'Hashem. Once there's an isha, it doesn't mean specifically something that's burnt on the mizbeach. It means really anything that's called a korban. So in any case, it's called a korban. You have the same issue, and therefore, so there. But that's the thing. In other words, so what we're saying is that when you burn the koimetz, you can have in mind as though it was firewood, and therefore, so that's what you would do. So that's how Tosfos and Shitur Kubetzes explain that. Rashi, on the other hand, says that Rashi, on the other hand, points out further, a little further in the sugya, that the fact is that it is kodshim mizbeach, and if you do, or if you sprinkle before the kmitzah, then you're causing kodshim mizbeach to be destroyed. When you do it after, when you do them afterwards, after the kmitzah, then it's only the shirayim. So you have quite a bit of discussion what exactly the Gemara is saying you should do over here. But in other words, one way or the other, you can do it, and you can consider something. You can consider the sprinkling as though it was unnecessary. You can consider the burning as though it was unnecessary. So we can do that. The Tanya, as in fact we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer says, when it says in the pasuk, "Kol sa'ur v'chol dvash v'saktiru," that you're not allowed to offer. Say you're not allowed to offer chometz or honey on the mizbeach, and in addition, you also have then the pasuk continues. That it means that there's an example. So you can't bring seur and vash as a korban. Nevertheless, but it says l'reach nichoyach. You cannot bring it as a pleasant fragrance for Hashem, which, as we learned earlier in the Masech, that means the fact that Hashem appreciates that He tells us to do a mitzvah and we do it. Well, we learn from that. Says Rabbi Eliezer, l'reach nichoyach iatamala. You're not allowed to offer seur or dvash for reach nichoyach as a korban, but you can offer them having in mind that they're wood, as if you're just adding firewood to the mizbeach. So then the same thing over here, what we mean is that, either according to Rashi's explanation, it means that we're going to be able to sprinkle some of this oil and consider if that sprinkling was unnecessary, we'll treat it as though it was water, or according to Tosfos, that it means that we're going to consider the burning of the koimetz. If it wasn't necessary, the burning of the koimetz will be considered like it was, like it was water. So now we're going to continue the discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem. But the point is, so far we have at least a way that he seemingly, we still have more details to deal with, but so far seemingly we have a way that we can bring that he can bring that log of oil and make tznoyim, and it'll work out one way or the other, whether in fact it was a mitzvah muchlat or not. And either way, the oil is taken care of, and he's able to bring it, and that way he's able to bring his korbanos properly. So that was really a side thing. That was not really negeya to the question of Reb Shimon saying Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul or Ein Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul, because as Rashi pointed out, the Shirayim are going to be eaten by the Kohenim and the Azara either way. This was just a side thing. Having brought that Mishnah about the case of the Nazir, who was a Safik Mitzvah Mokhla, and we mentioned Reb Shimon had said that he brings an Osham and he brings a log with it. And the point was, Abaya had used that to ask on Rava, that you see that Rav Shimon is allowing you to bring a korban that might be an Oshem and might be a Shlomim and not worry about Mevi'im Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul. And the answer was, Tikkun Gavra Shaini, that's different when we have to fix up a person. So by the way, the Gemara digressed to deal with what in fact do we do with the oil. Once we finish up, which we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with the discussion of what we do with the oil, then that's it. Then we finish with that side point, and then we're gonna deal with a little bit more about that. Why we need to say that it's a suffik osham suffik shlomim. And but that as far as the discussion that we had before, what Reb Shimon holds, Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul, Lachatchila or B'diavad, that remains open. Rava holds only B'diavad. Abaye says it's even Lachatchila.